Welcome to episode 471 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helped to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Donna. In June of 2022, Carnival Cruise Lines announced that they would be acquiring the Venezia and Firenze ships from its sister company, Costa Cruises. In September, Donna was able to go on this new Carnival ship for a Canadian venture out of Manhattan Cruise Terminal. So let's get started. Well, that sounds cool.
It is. It was. I've never been to New York. Outside of the airport. I've been to LaGuardia, I've been to JFK, but I've never left the airport, so that didn't count. no, so it was really neat to actually go to New York and see New York, but also it was a different terminal than I've ever been in, and it made me really appreciate Miami and Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Is this the Broadway terminal, the ones right around the corner from the aircraft carrier?
Yes, it was right next to the Intrepid. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. Like it was one. Not fun getting in and out of the terminal.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you take a taxi, or how did you get to the terminal?
Uber. I did an Uber. Got to the terminal. It's pouring rain because we were getting hit with a hurricane. And of course, they didn't want to take you too into the terminal, and it was, you actually had to go, I mean, you could see the ship, but then you had to go like four more blocks in order to actually get into the line, that basically the lane that would take you around to the terminal to actually go on it, because it was like a viaduct almost. So it was like going to the airport and going to the departures section over the arrivals, but you had to go like four blocks in order to get into the line in order to get into that lane, and it was way out of the way. So
is that because of regulations with Uber, or do they just not have a good setup?
They don't have a good setup. I don't think this was never, I think, designed to be a cruise terminal, because it's very warehouse industrial look and feel to it. It is not the chic, pretty
terminal.
Cruise terminal with the lines and taking you through, you know, the terminal, because, that's not what this is. So
sounds like Boston. It's the same thing. It's kind of, okay, it's cruise day. Let's set up cones all over the streets.
Exactly.
Try to get people there. Yeah. And it's
and then because it was a hurricane and raining, and that just threw a whole other wrench into it.
I remember that weekend it poured.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wait. That's not the weekend that it flooded, is it?
No, that's the that was when we get back. And I'll tell you about that in a minute.
We'll get to that. Okay. Wow.
So, yeah. But Carnival Venezia. So, this is a ship unlike any other Carnival ships. Carnival ships... Now, they made a big deal that they had actually supposedly changed out the livery, but they really didn't. It still has the giant C for Costa on the smokestack.
Wow.
Yeah. But all the signage, that's the only thing I think that really changed. All the signage and some of the little signage in the rooms themselves all are Carnival signage with the red, white, and blue. But all the flooring, all that kind of stuff, all the big renovations that you would do normally with a ship, that didn't get done because it's all still blue and yellow.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Have you
and
been
what
on
about
a
the
farm?
Restaurants? Did they change? Did they tweak them to the what you would expect on a Carnival ship?
No, because they were, I mean, they didn't really do any kind of moving of restaurants and things like that. They basically kind of left it as is. I think they just took what they had basically made the menus and all the signage say Carnival, but it's still really a Costa ship, which gave me a new appreciation for Costa. Because I'd never been on one of their ships, but all their ships are usually in Europe. And so it really, they're very elegant. And that doesn't quite fit with the whole fun ship image of Carnival. So,
do you know what size this ship is? Like how many passengers? Or
it tends to be, it was smaller. I want to say it was between 2,000 and 3,000.
Oh, okay.
So it was a smaller ship. Yeah. So, it's interesting because I never really take much notice of the cruise director, honestly. Usually they're just a talking head on a screen that tells you what's going on for that day or whatever. But the guy, Joey, who was the cruise director, was from England. And so his big thing, and this kind of made him stand out a little bit, he would say goodbye and sign off. He would go cheerio. Because he's from England. But then, and he told us during the opening, I guess, opening ceremonies that they had in the theater. So every time I'm going to do this, I'm going to, if I say cheerio, you're supposed to say another cereal back to me because cheerio is Cheerios. So he would say cheerio and sugar smacks or cheerio and frosted flakes. And he would do that. He did that the whole time we were there. And it really, he was funny. He was entertaining. He was, he must be taking drugs because he had so much energy. I don't know where he kept it all. So
that's kind of a prerequisite for a cruise director though. You know,
you know what though? You would think so. And I've been on many, many, many cruise ships. I've never quite had one like Joey. Yeah. So kudos to Carnival and the Venezia because Joey definitely... Nice. Definitely has it going on.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the stateroom that you had.
Okay. Well, when I go on Carnival ships, I stay in the spa category because I love going to the thermal spa and doing all of that. The Venezia doesn't have one. I talked to the other couple that we were going with. The only thing they had was a sauna. And he actually didn't like it because they were pumping music into it. so they really don't have, because they don't have a spa and they don't have that kind of whole thermal suite with the hydrotherapy and the heated tile chaise loungers and all. They don't have a spa category to allow you to go to the spa because it doesn't exist. So what they do have though are what's called the terraza staterooms. They're typically on the back of the ship, and it has its own lounge. So it's not quite a suite, but it does have its own bar. And in the morning, you can go in there and get kind of like a grab-and-go breakfast. They did have cereal. They did have pastries, but nothing hot. So if you wanted a hot breakfast, you had to go to the dining room or you had to go to the buffet. But if you just wanted to grab something, it was definitely convenient for that. It's got its own kind of sunset bar that, unless you're a member of the Terraza group or staterooms, you have a wristband that lets you get in. But it was really fantastic because it didn't have a balcony per se, but it had like a patio with a pergola over the top. And so you had a little bit of shade. You had a very large area where you had, we had two chaise loungers and a table. And it was probably 6x8. So it was a huge space. And then if you walk out, there's actually a walkway out on the outside of your patio area that connects you to the bar. Nice. And then it also has its own, there are two hot tubs back there. So it was really nice because I'd go in there at, 9 o'clock at night and there was nobody out there. And so I had my own private hot tub, basically literally outside my room.
It kind of makes me think of their Havana Cabana
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Okay. It does. But this is a little more, the wood grains and the, it's a little more sophisticated, I guess, as far as the feel of it, now, which the whole ship is a little more sophisticated. So,
right. Did you have your kids with you?
I had one of them. I had my daughter, and that's the whole reason we were going. The other couple, their daughter and my daughter, have been friends since they were two.
So
they're now 13.
Was there an age limit to stay in those staterooms? Because I know some of them you have to be at like 12 or, okay, cool.
No, that was one of the cool things is there was no, I mean, but this was not a kid-friendly ship. I would not recommend this ship if you have a bunch of kids. It was, they did have like one or two water slides. They did have also the arcade. They had the kids club, but I even stopped and asked, I says, okay, so, you know, how busy is this? And it was really for it, I, maybe it was the itinerary also and the time of year, but this was not a very kid friendly ship. So this is not one I would recommend for that. If you're a bunch of adults, I would definitely recommend it.
Cool.
It was kind of an odd announcement when they announced that they were taking these two ships from Costa, because they really seem like almost completely different types of cruise lines.
They really are. And I didn't realize how different they were until I got on it.
I would have thought it would have been a better fit for Princess than Carnival.
Yeah, I probably would have gone there.
But then again, maybe Princess doesn't need any more ships, but yeah. What do you do with, you got two ships you got built and
yeah,
for whatever reason, Costa definitely didn't need them.
Yeah.
Wow. So did they have like Guy's Burger Joint and all the Carnival stuff that you see on all the ships?
They did. So they did retrofit a little bit. So they did put in Guy's Burger Joint. They did have the bonsai sushi. But they didn't have the teppanyaki on there. So they basically just had the sushi bar. And we went there, and that's where we actually did have lunch there one day. Food was excellent. They did put in the seafood shack, and I did try that. I'd never actually tried it. I had clams and shrimp, and it was very, very good. If you want the lobster roll, though, it was pricey. And for the itinerary that we were doing, we did actually went up to Canada. So we stopped in Portland, Maine, and I had my lobster roll in Portland, Maine, instead of on the show.
That was good.
Yes, at Becky's Diner. So
nice.
Yep. And then they've got the pizzeria. I did try the pizza. The pizza was very good. When I do a cruise ship, I like to be served dinner. So I very rarely go into the buffet for dinner. So we did main dining every night. The thing I didn't like is that we had signed up for the freestyle dining. I personally prefer having my own server the same every night. I'd never really done the freestyle, and it was, especially with allergies, I have some food allergies, and so trying to explain it to the wait staff every single night. I like when they know what I want and they have my preferences and take care of me. However, I did go to the Lido Marketplace for the midnight buffet one night. We actually made it to midnight.
That's like retro. Yeah, I can't believe you did. Like 9 p.m. midnight?
No, it was like 11:30, 11:45, and we went up there for the midnight buffet. It wasn't as busy as I thought it would be, and it was, they had very limited selection. Just, if you've never done the midnight buffet, it was pizza, it was sandwiches, it was French fries, you know, it wasn't a meal, it was a snack, essentially.
Okay, like munchy food.
Munchy food, yes.
Been up all night drinking, and you want some munchies before you go to bed.
Yeah. Exactly, okay. Exactly. Cool. Or you need to, you know, dry up some of the alcohol.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, and pizza. How was the alcohol?
Well, we did. This is interesting. So we tried out several of the bars. We went to Amari, and Amari was kind of a... It was right next to the Banzai Sushi, so it was very almost Asian in their cocktails and all. We went to Frizzante, which I liked that one the best because there was no live music. There wasn't a lot of people. It was actually one of the few bars that was very quiet. And that one was specializing in champagne. So they had a lot of champagne type cocktails. The Heroes Bar was a beer bar and sports bar. So they had TVs going all the time. It was really hard to hear. Piano 88 was the piano bar. Again, you couldn't hear, and you were trying to carry, I was trying to carry on a conversation. I got, you know, shushed by the people next to us.
Ooh.
Well, we were having the conversation before the piano guy came in when it was quiet. So,
wow.
And then we went to the Atrium Bar, which was the main bar in the center, which, that was always hopping every night, especially after the theater shows. They all had a different feel, and they also, this is one of the cool things, is they also had different cocktail menus. Now, of course, you could get the cocktail at every bar if you found one you really liked, but the cocktails at Amari tended to be more oriental. They also tended to be more Asian, and they tended to be more frou-frou, gourmet. Mm-hmm. With cucumber water and, you know, those kinds of things. Like I said, Frizzante was the champagne, so most of their cocktails were all champagne-based.
Nice.
Did what sort of beer? Activities did they have? Oh, beer. Mm.
Yes. Well, you went to the Heroes Bar for that, so. Well, we did, of course, they had the adult area. It was kind of windy and cold because it was September heading to Canada. So we didn't really spend too much time on the Serenity deck, which is the adults only area. But we did, I did actually spend quite a bit of time in my own little personal Terraza Carnival area. Because that was a little quieter, a little less windy. But they've also got the waterworks, which is the little water park area. I didn't see anybody going out there because, like I said, the weather was kind of chilly and windy. They did have a sports square, which they have kind of retrofitted to allow pickleball.
Oh, nice.
Every ship is kind of moving towards, you know, oh, we allow pickleball now. So I did go to the Cloud Nine Spa and try that out. I did get a massage, so was very happy with that. My husband went to the casino and he actually won. He came up ahead.
Ooh, wow!
So first night he went and he actually netted or came up with $50, but then the second night he played roulette and he actually, the very last bet of the night, he hit his number and ended up with $500. So,
wow. That's awesome.
That paid for the hotel in New York.
Or paid for his gambling, right?
Yeah. And then they had the dive-in movies. Now this is kind of cool. So like Holland, they had a retractable roof. And so they had a very, very, very tiny pool area. It was right in the middle of the Lido marketplace. So you had the buffets and you had Guy's Burger Joint, but it was really kind of an indoor area. And I think the pool almost was an afterthought and I never really saw anybody in it. Hmm. But I did see them. There's another area where the seafood shack is in the back of the ship, and that had another pool area, and that also had a couple of hot tubs, and that was people soup. So
You went to your own private hot tub.
Huh? I did go to my own little private hot tub in the Terrazza state
room. That's a good tip, actually.
It is. Yeah. So the main pool in the main area where the burger joint was and everything, like I said, they had chairs all around, but everybody was sitting there watching the movies or the football game or whatever. I didn't see anybody in the pool at all. And then, of course, they've got the arcade for the kids.
Did your daughter go to the kids club?
She did. Once you're about, I think, 12, 13, you can sign up and give them permission to kind of come and go as they please. And so she does. She's got run of the ship. The only thing, we make her have dinner with us every night, so that way we at least see her once a day.
Nice.
But she was definitely pushing the curfew at 1 a.m. She would stroll in like 5 minutes after one. So, yeah. Every single night.
The first cruise we took, Fox was like 14, and he did that, pushed it with the kids club. And it was a Disney cruise, so they give you those phones, or back then they did. And my husband called him and he's like, if you don't come back right now, I'm going to show up in the kids club with my pajamas on.
In my tidy whitey.
Like, I will be there. I don't care. And yeah, Fox came right back because he wanted to be out till like 2 a.m. We're like, you are not going to be out later than us. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, they shut everything down and they basically shoo the kids after one. So
that's like late though.
A little bit.
Yeah, but they can sleep until noon, so they don't care.
I know. And it's one of those, it was a cool, like, I remember that being like a kind of a switching point for him of kind of getting a lot more independence after that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's cool. It's all good.
So I took a quick look while we were talking, and this ship is actually one of the largest Carnival ships. At 135,000 gross tons. It actually has a guest capacity of 4,090. So,
oh, we definitely didn't have that many.
No, I'm sure you didn't, but yeah, it would support it.
Yeah, I don't know, because the new Mardi Gras is in the Jubilee.
It's huge.
The really big ships, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good size, but it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel, because it wasn't open like one of the Royal Caribbean ships, the Oasis class, where they have the big neighborhoods and things like that. So
yep.
It wasn't quite the same feel. So there are a lot of nooks and crannies that where people would, you know.
So you went at kind of the leaf peeping time. How was the itinerary?
We thought we would, but it was, the leaf peeping was probably another week or two. We only saw one tree that actually had, you know, leaves that changed colors.
Okay.
It was a really nice itinerary. So we went from Manhattan to Portland, Maine, and we had a day in Portland, Maine. Then we went up to Halifax, Nova Scotia. And Halifax is a kind of a seaside town. It was really, really quaint. Alex found a cute little vintage record store and bought herself a record. We went to the farmer's market. Cool. It was really, really quite nice. And then we also did St. John. Mm-hmm. New Brunswick. And in St. John, we went to the Moosehead Brewery and, of course, partook of that. But before that, because we knew we were drinking beer, we went over to Tim Hortons and had donuts. And that one, we did a hop
George
on,
is
hop
judging
off tour.
You.
And so, you know, I thought the Bay of Fundy was outside. No, Bay of Fundy is right there, and you can actually see the water rushing in between them. So it was a nice, all three ports were just nice little quaint ports to see. If you want kind of a slower pace, not, you know, the hustle and bustle, if you just want to walk off the ship and you don't even need to plan a excursion, We did, because we didn't know what to expect. And they were mostly hop-on, hop-offs, where we could kind of do our own thing. But, yeah, they're just, you could walk off and just wander. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
And how about the shows, entertainment?
So we did go to the Welcome Aboard show. That's where we met Joey for the first time. Like I said, he was very, very entertaining. We did the Punchliner Comedy Club a couple times. And that's the only issue that I found when you were in the theater or the comedy club is where you really noticed how small it was. Because the venue wasn't quite big enough to handle all the people that wanted to go to the shows. And of course, they had other things going on in the theater, so we were stuck in the little comedy club. Now, they did have a, do a repeat of the shows at 11 o'clock in the big theater, but I was already in bed by 11 o'clock most nights, so I wasn't going.
Except that one midnight buffet night.
Except for the midnight buffet night, yes. Now, I did see two of the shows that actually were in the theater. It was called Vintage Pop. And it was, they were doing a cappella pop music throughout time. They started with like the Four Seasons and worked their way up and did Queen and other bands. It was really, really well done. And then the next, we did Epic Rock. And so it was all rock and roll music. It was Aerosmith and, again, Queen and Led Zeppelin and, you know. And they didn't, but they didn't do any Bon Jovi, so. But this is the interesting thing. So, I mean, I compare this with Royal because I've been on Royal ships many, many, many times. Royal basically has like a cast and they'll do like two shows and that's it. And they do, you know, they do two nights, one show or two nights, a certain show, and then they'll do two nights with a different show. And usually that's like the Broadway show.
Right.
This cast, there was eight of them. They did everything. They did every single show that there was. They worked these people to death. I felt kind of bad for them. Because they really didn't have a night off, you know, because except for the last night, because they did a show called The World Works Here, where they didn't have to work as hard. They did a couple, they did like two or three songs, but they still had to be there. And they had all the different nationalities that were on the ship come together with their flags. And they show you kind of how it was a whole peace and love and how we're, you know, we work together. Why can't the rest of the world work together? Because we know how to do it.
That's cool.
But they invite the kids clubs to come out and they do a little performance. Like Alex did What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
It is. Yep.
They taught them how to sign it in American Sign Language.
Cool.
And then the younger kids had little signs and they were doing a different song. So it was, they really tried to incorporate, everything to kind of say, yep, we can do this. We know how to work together. This is one of the really cool things that we do while we're on the ship. So, and of course, Joey was the MC for it. So.
and we know you love Joey.
Yes. Well, he was awesome. He really was. So he deserves a big shout out. So
did you leave like a when you did the survey after, did you shout out to him?
I did. Definitely. Nice. And then of course we got back to New York and then our lovely hurricane decided to come back again. And getting out of the terminal during a rainstorm is a nightmare. So the taxi stand is actually across the street from the terminal.
God.
Okay. And there's no covers or anything. I mean, there's no, it's basically a street corner. And so I called for an Uber three times and they couldn't get to me because they couldn't do that lane thing where they have to go down four or five blocks in order to get in the line to get through. Because they wanted to go to the taxi stand across the street, but it is pouring rain. And we're carrying, like, all this luggage. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is book the cruise line transfer.
If you're going to the airport. Out of Manhattan. If you're going to the airport, yes, definitely do that. However, we weren't doing that. We were staying the weekend. So we needed to get, you know, we needed to get transportation from the port to our hotel.
So the port doesn't have any kind of link up to the subway there? There's no, like, train?
I didn't see anything. But, again, if you did, you would have had to go out into the pouring rain. And that was the day that they got 8 inches of rain.
Yeah, the subway's flooded. I remember.
And the subway's flooded, and the streets were blocked because of flooding. We decided to go to the Met that afternoon, and it took us, normally it would probably take a half an hour to get from our hotel at the World, it was right near the World Trade Center to the Met Museum. It took an hour and a half to get there.
So this was just good timing on your part.
So, yes, the moral of the story is arrange a transfer ahead of time, whether it's a private transfer or the ship's transfers that take you to the airport. Arrange it ahead of time and have, you know, so they know where they're going.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.